All right, this is a wide open second hour. Take advantage of it now. I loaded you up in hour number one, had the big opening block, went back-to-back interviews. You did not get a chance to get through. Now you can. Into hour number two, I am Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. Back in California after a run to Wisconsin. That's why I was off on Friday. Parents' weekend at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Next hour, 76ers General Manager Elton Brand, but this hour is open. 1-800-636-8686. We had Ross Tucker in hour one. He's always great. We had Jordan Hicks, also in hour number one, linebacker for Arizona. They've won three in a row. Two of those games came on the road. We talked about Chandler Jones dominating yesterday against the Giants. You know, we talk also a lot about Bill Belichick, and he gets a lot of credit for being smart, a lot of credit for getting rid of guys a little bit too soon as opposed to holding on to them a little bit too long. He's made a lot of good moves that seem like head-scratchers at the time, but then they play out. That's why he's the hood, right? Yeah, well, Chandler Jones, that deal was not one of those moves. That was a dumb move. Yeah, I said it. That was a dumb move. Jonathan Cooper, Malcolm Mitchell, Joe Thuney for the so-called Kobe Bryant, a pass rushing, that's not smart. In fact, that's dumb. No way to spin that, Pats fan. You know that was not a good move. That came back to bite. They're in action tonight against the Jets. 1-800-636-8686. Dear Jim, Philly gave Dallas a good fight. Yours? Chris Weidman's glass chin. Signed, Brett from Bugaha, Iron Jaw. Wore me feeling great about the Vikings' current three-game win streak right up until I saw their next game is in prime time. And they've looked much better of late. In fact, I might even argue that the Vikings' offense has looked better than the Vikings' defense of late. Not something I thought that I would say. Weidman knocked out in the first round by Dominic Reyes. That step up in weight definitely did hurt. Ross Tucker came on, and when we asked him about Patrick Mahomes, he said, you know what, I've got a different way of looking at this. If I were the Chiefs, and I owned the Chiefs, I would shut him down for the rest of the year. At Mock Moda tweets, I disagree with your first guest. Mahomes will all be healed, or will be all healed, and 100% in a week, play him. Signed, Trevor Price, MD.
6 weeks is not it, man. That's going to be 12, 13 weeks. That might be season ending. Either way, Teddy Bridgewater has a chance. Let's see what he does. They pay him that kind of money for a reason. So, you wanted it, homeboy? Here you go.
Dr. Price, did you just double the amount of time that they're speculating that Drew Brees double is going to be out?
Double it. Double it.
Trevor Price, MD. In the meantime, they're 5-0 since Drew Brees went down. Not only 5-0, but they just won without Alvin Kamara. They look great. So when you consider how well they're playing and who they're going to get back and what they're going to look like then, look out. Look the hell out for the Saints. They're good, and they might be Super Bowl good. And this email reads, hey, Vance Smack, congrats to number 12 for the first perfect passer rating in Packers history. Roger said it best in his postgame presser. I still don't know how they put that rating together, but it does sound pretty good. End quote. I'll answer that for you, Aaron. You threw the ball 31 times for 429 yards, no interceptions, and had as many touchdowns as you had incomplete passes. Six. Period. The end. Ryan in Green Bay. I guess that is how they calculate that. And then one more from Green Bay. Hey, Rome. The Bears look like complete garbage yesterday.
Garbage!
Trubisky is definitely a problem, but it's not all on him. The play calling isn't good. Nagy was supposed to be some mastermind with all these creative plays and different looks. It looks like he found John Fox's old playbook in a drawer and started using his plays this year. The defense is not as scary as they were last year. Not sure if this falls on Pagano or the loss of Hicks, but they're not getting to the quarterback. Carr and Bridgewater in the last two games have had all day to carve up that secondary. The running game is non-existent. Yesterday, the Bears had the least amount of carries in a game in their team history. Trubisky definitely regressed, and he doesn't seem to have the confidence to make the big throws, but they're a mess all around right now. Jamie in Green Bay. Bro, you sound like Vince Lombardi, and you're right. I agree with everything he just said. Everything he just said. You know, let's go back to that. I started that take in the opening segment. I want to finish it right now. I want to talk more about Chicago. Remember when everybody was talking about Trubisky and how he was the future of that division. If not only the future of that division, but the present of that division. Trubisky was the guy. Remember, Trubisky was the guy Chicago traded up to get when they could have had Patrick Mahomes. They could have had Deshaun Watson. And I want to go back to something else I said in hour number one. To make matters even worse, there was that quote from Watson. The quote. It got a lot of run yesterday. Back in 2017. Just let me reset that really quickly, Alvin. Before the draft, he was on NFL Network, and the question came up, like it always does. You know, this quarterback or that quarterback. Somebody put it to him directly. What do you make, Deshaun, of people who are saying that they like Trubisky more than they like you?
Hey, then you're going to have to live with the consequences that come with it. You know, that's how I see it. You know, I try to stay in my own lane and try not to, you know, take that path. And, you know, I respect Mitch and what he's done and all the hype he's getting. But at the same time, you know, all my results speak for itself. And, you know, I feel like I've accomplished a lot, accomplished everything that I could. And, you know, it just, I guess if that's who they're going to roll with, then, hey, so be it.
What a great response. It's a great response because he could have said that yesterday. And it would have made sense. But he said it before the draft. Like, you know, I stay in my own lane. You're not going to drag me into this. But hey, listen, if you make that decision, you're going to have to live with the consequences. Well, the Bears are living with the consequences. And they are ugly. Ugly. Like, if you needed any further evidence that Mitchell Trubisky is not what Mitchell Trubisky and all his supporters want him to be, just check out that beatdown yesterday by the Saints. Now, there are a couple of ways to look at that, right? Number one, the Saints had won five straight without Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater is exactly who you want him to be, exactly who you thought he was going to be when you brought him in and you kept him. Number two, Sean Payton is who you thought he'd be. Sean Payton is doing arguably the best coaching job of his career. He's doing a great job. And then the other side of that is the Bears are, in fact, a complete disaster offensively. I mean, where to even start? There were the overthrows. There was all the confusion. I don't think I need to be some sort of quarterback guru myself to know that Trubisky's mechanics are shot. They're a nightmare. I mean, I could say that Trubisky was coming off injury and that he looked rusty. But then again, when has he ever looked great? Not only has he not gotten better this year, he's actually gotten worse. He hasn't taken a step forward. He's taken about five steps back. And then been strip sacked. I mean, again, yes, he's coming off injury. But does anyone anywhere really believe that's why he looked the way he looked yesterday? And if he wasn't ready, don't blame him. Or I should say, if he wasn't ready, don't play him. What's he doing out there? I got bad news for you, Bears fan. The guy was ready. That's why they ran him out there. Because he was ready. The bad news is, this is just who this guy is. It's not that he wasn't ready. It's not that he was rusty. This is who this guy is. This offense with the alleged future of the division at quarterback and the alleged mastermind and genius, Matt Nagy, running the show, has not cracked 300 yards this season. They haven't gotten over 300 yards of offense in a game this year. Are you kidding me about that? But then again, when you watch them, you can see why, right? Nothing works. Everything right now is terrible. The whole is worse than the sum of the parts. They couldn't pass. They couldn't run. Even worse, even with Mitch Trubisky under center, they don't even try to run. One thing not to run it, another to not even try. Seven rushes for 17 yards for the game. The fewest rushing attempts in Bears history. And Trubisky getting booed at home. The best description of the Bears' offense against the Saints actually came from a former Saints coach of yesteryear.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half. Horse. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. Coaching did a horrible job. The players did a horrible job. We got our ass kicked in that second half. It sucked. It stunk.
That's amazing. That's absolutely incredible. Matt Nagy did not say that yesterday, but would anybody have blamed him if he did? It would have applied. Not only is he not the best quarterback in that division, he's the worst, Trubisky. He might not even be the best fit on his own roster for that offense. And while the defense has not been lights out the last 2 weeks, you know, and the defense has not been lights out. The defense has not been what it was. Despite that, you know these guys are going to start getting pissed about the offense not being able to do its job. How could they not? Meanwhile, two other guys in that division who Trubisky was allegedly going to blow right past, Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers, are putting up numbers. Cousins, with his third straight week of more than 300 yards and a 70% completion rate. This time, he goes for 337 yards, four TDs, no picks. But you want to talk about a complete turnaround. As I mentioned, all of a sudden, the Vikings offense is playing better than the Vikings defense. It's a miracle when you consider all the heat that was coming down on Cousins only a few weeks back. So if you're going to kill Cousins when he's not getting it done, then we all have to give him credit when he does. And right now he is.
You like that?
I do like that, Kirk. He's playing much better. And he had to. And he is. Then you have Aaron Rodgers. Man, such a good song. Why don't you just bump that in your car? Man, put the top down, put the windows down. Let it rip. He goes for 429 yards, five TDs passing, and another rushing. And now squarely right in the middle of the MVP debate. Yeah, I understand that's a pretty ridiculous debate to have in October, but here we are.
Here we are.
Here the bleep we are. I guess Aaron Rodgers doesn't really, quote, hate Matt LaFleur. Or if he does, he's got a really funny way of showing it, right? By going out and throwing a perfect game. Things could not be going much better for the Packers. But they're going to go better because they're going to get guys healthy. They'll go better even when they get Davante Adams, when they get him back. I mean, all that talk about how their season could skid off the tracks altogether while he's gone, that's not happening. Even the guys outside yesterday were not 100%. They were on so-called pitch counts. And Aaron Rodgers still is unstoppable. So it's time to bury a couple of allegedly universally held beliefs about that division. One, that Rodgers and LaFleur will not be able to coexist. They can. Two, the future of the NFC North is Mitch Trubisky and the Bears about to take over. Two of the biggest lies ever. Hey, Bears fan, you're going to have to wear that. You're going to have to wear Ryan Pace's mistake of taking Mitch for years. It's pretty funny. I was not in on Friday to comment about that, but who else pops up when you think about horrible quarterback evaluators? Think about this. Who else pops up when you think about horrible quarterback evaluators? Pace made that pick, and now you Bears fans are going to have to wear that for years. Incredibly, the other guy is one of the most amazing quarterbacks ever, John Elway. Since I was not here on Friday, let me quickly say this. After Thursday's game against Joe Flacco, or with Flacco against KC, there is a hot topic on the table in Denver once again. Hey, John, did you catch Indy's game yesterday? Did you catch Jacoby Brissett? Does that seem like a guy that you might be able to build around?
Hey,
does that not seem like a young quarterback that you might be able to build around? Sorry, Bronco fan, but you can thank John Elway for drafting Paxton Lynch over that guy.
Thank you to John Elway.
Giddy up, horse face!
Hey, John, time to meet Mr. Rome. Giddy up, horse face!
I don't know, man. You better hope that Drew Lock hits. But knowing your track record in selecting QBs, Bronco fan, you got to be nervous as hell right now. I guess all you can really do in this situation is get ready to see Mr. Rome.
Come on, girl. Time to meet Mr. Rome. Giddy up, horse face.
I mean, how much better would Jacoby Brissett look right there? Because Jacoby Brissett looks great. Certainly a hell of a lot better than what the Broncos have. Like I said, great weekend in the NFL. 1-800-636-8686. How great? I'm nowhere near through what I want to talk about because I want to talk about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson and how amazing this guy looks. And to hear defensive Jackson. Players react to him the way they are is incredible too. Talk some basketball next hour. Elton Brand joins us then. Dear Jim, I have no problem with Doug Peterson calling his shot. Signed, Matt Hasselbeck.
Seattle has won the toss.
We want the ball and we're going to score.
We want the ball and we're going to score.
Seattle has won the toss.
And like I said, I have no problem with guys saying things like that, as long as they back it up.
We're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East.
Or we're going to go there and get our asses kicked.
We didn't show up. They beat the crap out of us.
Dear Rome, so glad the Colts made that move of forcing Andrew Luck to retire so he couldn't hold them back any longer. Great GM move there. Signed, John in Huntington Beach. Why are you missing me Tuesday through Thursday while I'm on work travel? Yeah, John, I don't think they forced Andrew Luck out. I really think they didn't want him to retire. That said, the Colts have responded brilliantly. Frank Reich's done an amazing job, and Jacoby Brissett is obviously a guy that you can win with consistently, a guy you can build around. Dear Van Smack, Lamar Jackson is showing that running quarterbacks are the next big fad. Signed, Rit thinking he's cool because he got a Facebook page. Casey in New Hampshire. Is that true? Bro, do you think you're cool because you got a Facebook page? Has your mood changed? All right, then. I'm looking for phone calls that can make a difference. I'm not looking for phone calls. If you're a good phone call that can make a difference, elevate this conversation, make the show better, I'll go to you. If not, I'm locked and loaded. I'm just going to keep rolling. Lots to get to, including my thoughts on the World Series. Hey, do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Do you love money? Then get with the program. Get on down to Hooters, catch the game, and play Monday Night Moneyball. Every week, you are just a few questions away from a chance at making some money. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks. It is easy to play, and it works like making prop picks. Who is going to win? It might be you. And it could not get any easier, and it's free to play. You love wings, right? You love ice cold beer, right? And who doesn't love the world-famous Hooters girls? So there is no better place to get your sports fix in. Get in on the action. If you've got game, head to Hooters. Watch all the games, eat, drink, and play for all of the money. With Hooters, Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com. Register right now, then head to Hooters for every game all season long. Once again, HootersMoneyball.com or go to your local Hooters.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Recapping this past Sunday, but looking ahead to next Sunday, another big day. It's an NFL on CBS doubleheader, starting with the Colts battling the Broncos or Kyler's Cardinals taking on the Saints, followed by the Browns and Patriots going toe-to-toe in Foxborough. It all begins with the NFL today on noon Eastern and 9 Pacific on CBS. Top of the hour, Elton Brand joins us. I was off on Friday. Bill Ryder came in. Thanks a lot, Bill. Good looking out. I was off because it was Parents Weekend in Madison, Wisconsin. Went to see our son, Jake Rome, for Parents Weekend. I want to recap that and tell you what it was like to be in Madison, where they were in shock at seeing the Badgers go down to the Fighting Illini. Yeah, it was too bad. On the heels of the big showdown against Ohio State and Columbus. Now, Wisconsin was saying, they went out of their way to say, we're not looking past them, we're not looking past them. I think a lot of the fans were definitely looking past Illinois, and maybe even to a certain extent the Badgers. So I'm going to talk about what that game means to Wisconsin and what the mood was like in Madison. But let's go to the phones. We go to Houston, Tony in H-Town. Tony, what's going on? How are you?
Real good, Rome. Congratulations for being the best of all the rest. But most of all, you are the only one that backed us up, that we didn't have a chance to get into the playoff. And I remember last year, you said, Tony, no, I believe in you. No, Rome, you are what you are. You are number one. But what do you think now, our chances?
Are you talking about the Astros, Tony?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you about your chances. All right, Tony, thanks very much. I don't know, Tony. I think I appreciate you. I don't think that it was a matter of nobody believing in the Astros. I think a lot of people believe in the Astros. I'm not number one for believing the Astros. They're not hard to believe in. They did win 107 games. They did add Zach Greinke at the deadline. They did win it all in 2017. They do have unbelievable talent and character in that clubhouse and culture that's unparalleled. That is a hungry, hungry team. Believe in them. What's not to love about the Astros? Absolutely amazing team. Now, I wouldn't sleep on the Nats. One thing I want to get into, I've got a whole take on them and what they did, how they got through the Yankees, how they finished. They seem to be an overwhelming favorite. I've got them to win the World Series. Top to bottom, to me, they're just better. But I'd be very careful about sleeping on the Nats. I'd be very careful about thinking they don't belong on the same field. I'd be very careful about saying that the Astros are an overwhelming favorite and they're going to go right through the Nats. They're going to win. I've got them finishing what they started, but I've got a lot of respect for the Nationals, their rotation, how they're playing right now, how they handle their business. It's a really good team. You can't fluke your way to where they are right now. And did I mention their rotation? This is some old school baseball. You know, you can talk all you want about exit velo, launch rates, metrics, analytics. This looks like some old school ball, some unbelievable arms up front. And I'll give you my thoughts in a preview. We got ourselves a World Series now. Nationals Astros tomorrow night. The matchup that nobody saw coming, but the matchup coming in the absolute perfect way possible. And since I was not here on Friday, I've got to recap how the ALCS ended. 1-800-636-8686. Banging telephone calls right now. Let's go to Lincoln, Daryl in Lincoln. It's good to have you, Daryl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jim. Yourself?
Great. Really good.
Great. Hey, my poor Broncos. Mr. Elway needs to find a different quarterback. I understand Mr. Flacco, he did good in Baltimore, but he doesn't seem like the right fit for my Broncos. I'm a diehard Broncos fan, and it's like only good quarterback they didn't have is Peyton Manning. That was the last good one they had. And the other guys, they stepped back and wanted more money and went to bad situations. They had Brock Osweiler. He could have done good. He had a defense. All he had to do was just run the offense. Now they lost him. Now it's like Joe Flacco, he's at the twilight of his career. And when he was with Baltimore, I believe Baltimore was the one that pretty much won the championship. He was the guy there. So it's like, Mr. Elway, he was a great
quarterback. Wait a minute, Daryl. You know what that music means, don't you? It means you're done. That was a nice way of me ending that phone call, Daryl. That was a nice way for me to say that there's no reason to continue that telephone call. Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it, that John Elway, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, can't for the life of him pick a quarterback who can play. Can't draft one, can't sign one, simply cannot get it done. And it all seems so good, right? He was the guy who came in and convinced Peyton Manning to play there. He was the guy that came in, not only convinced Peyton Manning to play there, but won a ring there. Despite the fact that he went out there with a noodle arm. And now the guy just can't get it right. I mean, John Elway, after he retired with a couple of rings, then came back as an executive, won a ring, you would have thought that guy was golden forever. Could do no wrong, could stay there as long as he wanted, no matter what. And he's under a lot of fire right now, and rightfully so. Among other reasons, because this guy who played the position as well as anybody's ever played it can't find a guy to play the position. Hard to imagine. Almost impossible to explain, but it's true. as I mentioned earlier, do you think maybe Jacoby Brissett might help the Broncos? Might have been a good fit for the Broncos? A guy that you might have been able to build around? Look at what Frank Reich is getting out of him. Look at what he's doing for the Colts. John Elway could have had him, but didn't draft him. And now, to me, this guy really is battling for his position. Elway, I mean. Battling for his job. There's no way that guy could stay there forever. And Bronco fan, if you're pissed, you have every right to be. When we return, I'll ask you, Bronco fan, any reason to believe that John Elway is going to get this thing right? Any reason to believe that John Elway is going to fix this thing?
Thank you.
Hard to imagine. Still ahead, I do want to break down the World Series. I want to break down my weekend in Madison. I want to break down the Ravens and how good they look right now. All of that is coming up and a conversation with Elton Brand. But first, here is the latest in the form of a bottom of the hour sports.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Looking for a place to watch the Monday night matchup? Got your answer. Hooters. Coming to Hooters every Monday night all season long and play Monday night Moneyball. You're just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash and Hooters freebies. A new chance to win every single week and Hooters girls to make every game fun. Play Monday night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. Do that, why don't you? Elton Brand, top of hour number three. All right, so let me finish the thought on the World Series, because we've got ourselves a World Series, right? Nats, Astros, tomorrow night. And again, that's a matchup that nobody saw coming. Since the last time I was on the air, the Astros had taken a 3-1 series lead after winning Game 4 in New York. Then they lost Game 5. Then they went back home for Game 6. Then they started Game 6 by jumping all over the Yanks with this in the first inning.
There goes Altuve, first pitch, and Gurriel lines it down the left field line and deep, and that ball is gone! And Rolandris Crawford boxes a 3-run home run for Yuli Gurriel, and the Astros jump out to a 3-0 lead.
Astros Radio Network, 3-0 in the first inning. That joint was peaking. At that point, you were not expecting a game, but rather a coronation and a party. I mean, there's no way you come back from that. The Yankees would just fold, the Astros would run away with it, and they'd be popping champagne in a matter of hours. Except that's not what happened. Because the Yankees did not go away. They wouldn't go away. They made it 3-1 in the second, 3-2 in the fourth. Then Houston goes to work on defense. There was this from Josh Reddick defensively in the sixth.
And that's lifted in the right, Reddick hustling in, and he makes the headlong diving grab. A big second out as the runners have to retreat.
Then Houston made a 4-2 in the bottom of the sixth. And then Michael Brantley did what Michael Brantley does. He came up huge defensively as well in the field.
Here's the pitch. And it's in on the fifth. A shallow fly ball to left field. Brantley comes in. And he made the catch on the dive. Throw to first. Got it. Double play. The play of the series by Michael Brantley.
Unbelievable play. So Houston was showing you everything. The bats, the gloves, 4-2 lead in the ninth. Now it really was over. Now it's over. Now they're three outs away from the party. Except they weren't, because with one on and one out, DJ LeMahieu came to the plate.
Swung on, a high fly to right. Back goes Springer on the stands. He leaps, and it's gone. It's a two-run game-tying home run for DJ LeMahieu. A fly ball to right just over the leap of Springer into the right field seats. What a dramatic two-run home run.
Yankees radio. Shocking, actually. Tie game. Not only a tie game, but honestly, it felt like the Yankees were going to win at that point. I say that because they ripped the momentum. They sucked the air out of that building. And they were sending Aroldis Chapman to the mound in the ninth to force the extra innings. And Chapman did what he does. He set down the first two batters with a strikeout and a pop-up, and then he worked ahead of George Springer 0-1. But then he lost him, throwing four straight balls, and he walked him, which is the last thing you want to do, especially with two outs, especially given who was in the on-deck circle. Because up walks Jose freaking Altuve. Obviously, there are a lot of guys that you do not want to see in the bottom of the ninth of an elimination game in the LCS. But Jose Altuve is right near the top of the list, if not at the top of the list. Ask LeMahieu. He said, quote, "To be honest, I never feel good when we're on defense and he comes to the plate. But it's not just us. The Yankees. I think every team feels like that." End quote. Right. And for very good reason. Because on an 0-2, or I should say a 2-1 pitch, Altuve did this.
And that's driven deep to left center field. Gardner is going back. Looking out. See you later. See you later. Astros headed back to the World Series. Jose Altuve, a walk-off two-run homer. And the Astros beat the Yankees 6-4, win the ALCS 4-2.
Freaking wear that. Man, wear that. And I don't mean for a night or a week or, I mean forever. Ball game, series, Yankee season, thanks for coming. What an absolute legend. The guy who embodies the Houston Astros doing exactly what you'd expect him to do in that situation. Doing exactly what most thought that he would do in that situation. Which raises the question, if everybody knew that that was going to be the result, if you pitched to that guy in that situation, why the hell would you ever pitch to that guy in that situation? Especially with two outs, and especially with a defensive replacement, Jake Marisnyk, in the on-deck circle. Alvin, do me a favor. Have that home run ready again. Because even crazier than pitching to Altuve in that situation was Altuve himself looking for a 2-1 slider in that situation. That's the spot where Chapman generally goes fastball. And by that, I mean three times out of four, he goes fastball. Yet for some reason, Altuve was looking for a slider, and he found it. Not only did he find it, he found it out over the plate, and then he got rid of it once he found it.
And that's driven deep to left center field. Gardner is going back. Looking out. See you later. Altuve, a walk-off two-run homer, and the Astros beat the Yankees 6-4, win the ALCS 4-2.
The only thing shocking about that is that it was not shocking at all. How the hell do you pitch to that guy? That's not even hindsight being 20/20. How do you pitch to that guy? How do you pitch to that guy in that situation with a defensive replacement on deck? AJ Hinch, the unbelievable manager of the Astros, said that what Altuve does is not easy, even if he makes it look so.
It's not easy to deliver the way he does. The playoff version of him is spectacular. You know, we talk about his division series homers and then his, you know, attention to detail in every facet of the game. He's turned himself into a star in his career here, and yet he's remained humble. He's remained hungry. He's driven. He's engaging with his teammates. You know, it's the same old quote of everything that's right about the Astros is Jose Altuve. He's been here the longest, and has seen a lot and seen this organization grow from the ground up. I'm so proud of him. I'm so fortunate to be his manager.
That is so good to hear that. Those are great, great statements from A.J. Hinch. Quote, "I'm so fortunate to be his manager." Also, listen to that other part once again. Quote, "Everything that's right about the Astros is Jose Altuve." That's about as big a compliment as you could pay somebody, especially when you consider you're saying that about a guy who's on a team that's loaded with Hall of Famers and All-Stars, and they're all pointing to Altuve as the man. And now you've got to be ready to face the Nationals. But not without one final remark for the Yankees. Carlos Correa said this.
It was an unbelievable series. We enjoyed every moment of it. We knew we had a great team out there on the Yankees. Obviously, they call themselves the Savages, and they are Savages. They're really good. But in this jungle called the American League, we are the Apex Predators out there.
Wait, what? That is so good. He said the Yankees call themselves the Savages, which is fine. They are. They're really good. But, quote, in this jungle called the American League, we're the apex predator.
We are the apex predators out there.
Carlos Correa. That is so good. I said it myself. He said it better. I said on Twitter, the Astros are the real savages. He said, no, it's fine. The Yankees are savages, except us. Oh, we are the apex predator.
We are the apex predators out there.
And now the apex predator gets the Washington Nationals. Let's get it on. I'm going to take the Astros. I'm going to take the Astros, but I say that with respect. I'm going to take the Astros because, to me, they are the apex predator. I just don't think that it's the runaway beatdown that most people are predicting. Got a lot of respect for the Nats. Their rotation, how they're playing right now, a lot of respect. Just not enough to say that they're going to win this series because I don't see it happening. I don't see anybody beating the Astros. The Nats or anybody else, they are the apex predators. That Altuve moment, while not surprising, still was absolutely amazing. For him to take Chapman deep the way he did in that situation, when everybody thought that he would, was absolutely incredible. How do you pitch to that guy? How do you pitch to that guy? I'll never understand that. Why? Setting up hour number three, 1-800-636-8686. Quickly, let's go to Green Bay. I was in Wisconsin over the weekend. I want to recap my weekend in Madison and talk about what happened to the Badgers and where that leaves them. Huge weekend for the Packers, though. They look great. Derek in Green Bay. It's good to have you, Derek. What's up?
Romy, homie, hey.
Go ahead, Derek. You're on the air. What's up?
Just want to talk about Green Bay and just the new energy, you know, since the Big Bear got kicked out. I mean, respect to McCarthy, but there's just new energy. There's just no ego. Everybody is just pumped, you know? Don't you see it? Like, when you watch the locker room wins.
Oh, I see it, Derek. Sorry about that, brother. You know, I'm always torn. I can tell when somebody calls, they badly want to talk about their team, good or bad. They badly want to be in the jungle because they love the show. Maybe they want to rap with me. And then they show up and it's just, well, how do I put this? Not good. And then I have to do what I have to do. And it's always kind of harsh because I got a big heart. You know me, big heart fan smack.
Below not good.
But that was below not good. Luckily, the Packers are above good. Playing really well. And by really well, Aaron Rodgers played perfectly. Perfectly. And Mike D for three tweets. You got to love when small guys like Altuve come up big. Son, Rick in Buffalo successfully grabbing groceries off the top shelf. Say what you want about Rick. Altuve is 5'6". 5'6", and is one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely unbelievable what this guy can do at 5'6". Hey, Rome, what a weird week of crappy football. Russ Wilson threw a damn pick six, and Matt Schaub freaking didn't. And I feel like I woke up in some parallel reality. Were the Jets upsetting the Pats tonight? Wore me and the flight deck smashing the money line. Wore the world finally realizing that Carson Wentz absolutely sucks. Wore Mel Gordon showing up to save the Chargers season. Matt in Vancouver. Damn, Matt, I'm not sure I agree with any of that. I don't need the Jets to shock the world and win. Just cover. Who you got tonight? The flight deck and I were talking during the break. I'm already down on tonight's game. He's thinking about following me in because I've been doing better than the flight deck. The only thing keeping flight deck in the game is the NHL, which he's trying to drag me into. So we're having these conversations during the break. When we come back, Sixers GM Elton Brand back in the jungle. Elton Brand is coming up next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour number three, straight ahead.